From JMI Wealth, Andrew Kelleher, good morning.
Yeah, morning, Mike.
So manufacturing, what do we know?
Yeah, look, I spoke yesterday about the potential upside to the growth estimates for the first quarter of this year, and this is growth as measured by GDP, Mike. Yes, I am still focusing on GDP. Look, I've decided next week when we get onto GDP, I will introduce the living standards framework into the discussion, but look, what I actually said yesterday, there were a few indicators suggesting that there was upside risk, but perhaps I was being a little bit too hasty. Yesterday we had the release of what is termed the Economic Survey of Manufacturing. Now that sounds exciting, doesn't it? But to give this a bit of global context, if you look around the world, we're seeing in a lot of economies, we're seeing strong employment, we're seeing the consumer in good shape, but we're seeing warning signs flashing in manufacturing. So what do our local numbers say? Well, at the headline level, it'll look pretty good. In fact, the media headline was large rise in meat and dairy manufacturing. And meat and dairy manufacturing was strong, so primary production going well. We knew it was a good season for dairy farmers. But here's the thing, Mike. If you look at manufacturing excluding those primary products, here's the warning sign flashing as well. And it's putting a bit of a brake on this growth upgrade, those forecasts. So if we look at the percentage change from the previous quarter, if we exclude meat and dairy manufacturing, we're actually down 1.7% seasonally adjusted on the sales measure. And that's weaker than expected. So that's what's called core manufacturing. Yep. So that swings the pendulum back the other way a bit on those models that all the economists run. Now we're just going to have to wait until next week to have a look at those GDP numbers, and we'll talk living standards
all
frameworks
right.
as
Keep
well.
Keep us surprised. Where are we at with China?
Right, well, we're going to go global a bit here, hopefully get people excited about financial markets. Now, Mike, what is it? Do you remember back in the 80s, everybody wanted to be a sharebroker, and everyone wants to work for Air New Zealand. How do we get people excited about inflation and exchange rates again? But look, anyway, lots of focus, obviously, at the moment on this US-China trade dispute. Now, Trump raised the ante over the weekend, pointing the finger at the Chinese ability to pull the various economic levers, whereas the poor old US has to deal with an independent central bank. Now so there are some nuances around this trade dispute. There's been this line of reasoning that China has allowed their currency to weaken in response to the introduction of tariffs, and this makes their exports more competitive. So we're looking at yuan. Now, the way this works is that the Chinese central bank sets or fixes a rate every day. Now, if we go back to 2015, you had around 6.1 to the dollar. By the end of 2016, it moved to more than 7, so the Chinese currency was weaker. 2018 strengthens again, but it's been tracking back towards 7. So the big question for currency markets has been whether the Chinese currency would, and you'll have to excuse my pronunciation if we get this wrong here, whether the Chinese currency would pokey or crack 7. Now, there's been a lot of talk about this. Now, rather pointedly yesterday, the central bank fixing was actually stronger. Now, you've got the G20 coming up, and the expectation now is that the Chinese central bank won't actually allow that currency to go through 7, to crack 7, because of the obvious implications for those G20 negotiations. And what are they doing at the moment? Well, you've got that meeting, proposed meeting between Trump and Xi Jinping. That's at the end of June. But as we know, or as we have to assume, all of those negotiations are going on
right now.
Exactly. So you're not going to see that Juan potentially go through 7, because that would make those negotiations a little bit tougher.
Nice insight. What are the numbers?
Yep. Dow Jones, 26,086, we're up 12 at the moment, so not a lot of change in US share markets. The S&P 500, 2890, up 4, and the NASDAQ up 8, 7831, so very little change there. FTSE, but some good moves actually in other share markets overnight. FTSE 100, 7398, up 23. The Nikkei, 21204, up 70. Shanghai Composite storming up yesterday, up 2.6%. Closing at 2925. The ASX 200 also had a good day, up 1.59%, 102 points, 6546. Now, we gained 111 points yesterday on the NZX 50, Mike. That's up 1.1%, close at 10,139. Just very quick comment about Costco coming into New Zealand. Pretty important, obviously, strategically for them, but They're going to need more than one store to make a difference. They're going to need more than one store. 0.6587, the New Zealand dollar against the US dollar on the wholesale markets. 0.9460 against the Aussie. 0.5809 euro. 0.5174 pounds. 71.44 yen. Gold trading at $1,328.34. Brent crude up a little bit, $62.58.
Have a good one, mate. Appreciate it as always. Andrew Kelleher at JMA Wealth, and he and the team at jmawealth.co.nz.